adoring the name and the one to whom the name belongs that we're about to focus on, to consider. Thank you for all that it means, all that you've ushered into our lives because of it. Lord, you know us, you know why we're here, and thank you that in this name you have the answers, the touch, the hope, the encouragement, whatever it is. Thank you, Lord, so much beyond just any name, the name. So thank you. Thank you, Father. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. As I said, the book of Matthew really is a perfect bridge between the Old and New Testament, because the main theme of Matthew is that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, the King. It's a very Jewish book because it is about that, about the Messiah and his arrival. Matthew will quote or allude to the Old Testament more than any other gospel. We will often find him using phrases like, that it might be fulfilled. He'll take an event and he'll say, that it might be fulfilled, and he'll give the prophecy that spoke about it. Or he'll say, or he'll speak of an event and say, of that which was spoken by some certain prophet. He named the prophet. He'll refer many times to prophecies of the Old Testament and then show Jesus as their fulfillment. Now, this is crucial, because it's an awesome thing to know that there is only one who could fulfill all these, but he has done it. And that's what Matthew is trying to do. He's tying the Old Testament into the New by showing us that there is one now that's come along who is meeting, fulfilling all those statements, some made hundreds of years beforehand. There's only one who could do it, and he's done it. Matter of fact, allow me for just a moment to do a brief overview of the first couple chapters here. We're not going to read through them. I just want to kind of overview it to help demonstrate what I mean, and it's going to set the table for our focus this morning. The book of Matthew opens from verses 1 through about verse 17 with the genealogy of Jesus. In this case, it's the heredity, the genealogical line of Jesus through Joseph. It goes back to Abraham, down through David, and then through Solomon's side, down to Joseph. Now, when you combine that with the genealogy of Jesus over in the Gospel of Luke, where Luke takes the genealogy back through Mary, coming down through Abraham, down through David, but then through Nathan, down to Mary's side, when you see both those genealogies supporting the legal, the royal line, as well as the bloodline of Jesus, it shows that he did indeed meet the biblical requirements in terms of genealogy to be the Messiah. And for the Jews, that was very important. You had to be able to show your line, your genealogical line, to qualify. But then after that, after he shows that the genealogy supports it, Matthew now goes through recounting some events. But watch something he does in each one of these, in these first couple chapters. The first thing he talks about was what we read earlier, and that he talks about the birth of Jesus. And he speaks about how that occurred. But then in reference to that, look at verse 22 of chapter 1. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall bear with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So here you have now the record of Matthew telling us that Jesus has been born, but he presents this as a fulfillment, in this case, of Isaiah 7:14, telling us that how the birth would occur. In other words, it would come through this virgin. There would be this miraculous conception that would take place, that would be the ushering in of God into his creation. Now remember, the original writings didn't have chapter and verse. They're all just one letter. Then right after the birth of Jesus, and showing that that's a fulfillment of prophecies given years, hundreds of years before, now as we move down into what we call chapter 2, he says then the next thing that happens is the wise men. There's these magi over in the east, and they see the star that tells them that the Messiah has been born, and so they make their way to Jerusalem to track down the Messiah. And they show up and ask Herod, they say, where's the one born king of the Jews? Well, that gets the current king pretty upset. So he calls in his priests and scribes, and he says, well, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? Look at verse 5 of chapter 2. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So Matthew uses this occasion to show that not only the method, if you will, of how Jesus was born fulfills Scripture, but the location of where he was born fulfills Scripture. You probably didn't get to pick where you were born. Think about it. They didn't come to you while you're in the womb and say, hey, would you like San Diego? How about La Mesa? Where would you like? What hospital do you want? You didn't get to pick that. Remember that when you realize that this is God doing this. Man couldn't have met all these requirements. Man couldn't have structured all this. That's why it's so awesome to consider who this is we're thinking about, who we're focusing on this morning. Now it continues on. Herod tells the wise men, well, go check out the young child, worship him and all, and make sure you come back by here and let me know about it, and I'll go and worship him too. He doesn't really want to do that. Herod wants to kill the Messiah because he's king, and he doesn't want anybody to come along and dethrone him. He feels threatened by it. So the wise men go out there, but they are warned not to go back that way, so they just go on home. Meanwhile, the Lord warns Joseph, don't stay around. Herod's going to try to kill the young baby, the young child. So Joseph takes his family and gets to Egypt. But we learn that's also in Scripture. Look at verse 15 of chapter 2. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. So here we have another fulfillment. Here, this one's Hosea 11:1. Well, Herod hears that the wise men didn't come back and fill him in on where the Messiah is, so he says, look, in that case, just kill all the children 2 years and younger. Just kill them all. That way we'll get rid of the Messiah. Well, verse 17 of chapter 2 tells us that's in fulfillment of Scripture. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. The prophecy of what would happen upon the massacre of the innocents, of these little children. Well, Herod eventually does die. Joseph brings the family back from Egypt. But because now Herod's son is ruling, Joseph takes the family and they go over to Nazareth. Look at verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. One more example. Look at chapter 3. Because now Matthew says, now the next thing happening is John the Baptist comes along. And his goal will be to prepare the way for the Messiah. Look at verse 3, chapter 3. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Hopefully you begin to see, this is enough examples for now, but hopefully you begin to see why I say that Matthew is such a perfect connecting book between the Old Testament and the New. For he takes the prophecies in all of the Old Testament, and now right at the beginning of the New Testament begins to show that they're being fulfilled left and right. And no person could do this. Only God could set this up this way. And in particular, he's using the Old Testament prophecies and all to demonstrate that the one who has arrived is indeed the fulfillment of all God said would come to pass. So this one in the manger, this one that's being born, something very special about him. Unlike anybody else who's ever been born. But who is this one exactly? And what does it have to do with us today, if anything? Well, we're going to see it has everything to do with us. To discover who this is all about, who this is, that's fulfilling all these prophecies, showing that he is indeed God. Who this is, that this name is going to contain so much, is important, it's a key, and it's what we're going to focus on. Look again now at verses 18 and following in chapter 1. And allow me to read it one more time. Now understand, based on what we just said, who this is that's being talked about. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. As I said, it has been 400 years since God had spoken. But now God says, it's time. And he sends his messengers to a young couple, not in a palace, but in a little town called Nazareth. And this young couple receives some news, news that we almost can't take in. I mean, we're used to it now, so it's like, oh yeah, I know that. But think about how it might have hit them. It's news that challenges them and stretches them big time. You see, they're about to be used in a unique way as the means by which the Messiah is going to be ushered into his creation. And they have, they're given one specific name. Joseph, when this comes to pass, you're going to give that son this name. You're going to name him Jesus. This morning, let me share with you. There's so many things we could discuss about the genealogy of Jesus. Lord willing, we'll look at some of that tonight. And there's so much we can debate about how could a virgin become pregnant like that? Could be a miraculous birth like that? And how could that happen? And we'll look at some of that tonight, Lord willing, and just where the Lord takes us. You know, there's so many things you can debate here. But this morning, what's on my heart, what I want to focus in on is I want to talk about the one that's made all the difference in my life, and I hope in yours. They said, you're going to call his name Jesus. The name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. Joshua, or Yeshua, is actually a contraction. It means in Hebrew, Jehovah, or Yahweh, is salvation. Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah has become our salvation. So Jesus is the Greek translation, the Greek form, of the Hebrew word Yeshua. And in case we miss what that name means, God tells us in verse 21, you shall name him what? Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. His very name, Jehovah, is salvation. And he says, because we're calling him that God is salvation, God's offering you salvation, I'm going to name him that because he will save his people from their sins. Here's an awesome thing, but please don't miss this. The name of Jesus is so special in so many ways, but particular right now I'm focusing on this. You see, his name is special because his name is also his mission. His name is his mission. What's his mission? He will save his people from their sins. So his very name is, it tells us why he came. Not that you and I would be good and earn our way to heaven or something like that, but because we are a people who are lost and need saving. And so God sent his son to save us. And his very name means that. Because he will save his people, anyone who call upon him, from their sins. Jesus himself said in Luke 19:10, he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm afraid we're too used to it. Silence for 400 years. And then God saying now. And coming to a couple and saying, now's the time. I'm coming. I'm going to come as a little baby. I mean, think of it. Wow. And I want you to name him Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation. His name expresses the very purpose of why he came. His mission is to save and seek that which is lost, to save you and me. The goal? Our salvation. Now look at verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Don't be confused. You might say, wait a minute, they were going to call him Jesus a minute ago. Now they're saying, calling Emmanuel. No, his name is Jesus. What is meant here by this title given of Emmanuel is that this is what would be declared of him. This is a descriptive title, is the idea. So the point is, and Matthew is going to awesome detail to show us, that in Jesus, we have God with us. Only one could fulfill all these prophecies the way he's doing it. And only one could meet this need that we have. And in Jesus, there's have this description of him that he is God with us. That Jesus is coming here is God coming to us, God with us. So there's only one of whom that could be said. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, it tells us. When you invite Jesus in, it is God with you. It is God taking up residence inside of you. Let the immensity of that hit you. Think about it. God with us. And then it says in verse 24, Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And they indeed did call his name Jesus. Oh, the preciousness of that name. What's in the name of Jesus? First of all, in the name of Jesus, we have salvation. Acts 4:12 says, Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What's in the name of Jesus? It is the name of salvation. There's no other name by which we can be saved. I know in this age of political correctness, I might get flack, but so be it, because I'm called to proclaim it. You're not saved in the name of Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad. There is only one name given under heaven. God with us. Jesus. Amen. Salvation. Jesus is. He's holding forward salvation. Amen. What else is in the name? What's the name by which we are commissioned under? Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It's the name by which we're saved, and it's the name by which we go forth. It's the name of our commissioning. It's what gives us the authority to go forward. If I right now drove down to the Navy base and walked on the Navy base, and started walking around and saying, I'm Admiral Dale, and I'm here to give some instructions. Well, I'll tell you what, if I try that, would you come visit me in prison? Because I have no authority to do that. I have not been commissioned as an officer. So if I go around and start giving orders, it isn't going to go too far. Now, an officer that is commissioned, those under him, they jump to it. Why? Because he's been commissioned by the authorities. The United States government has commissioned him to act as their representative in that situation. His authority is derived properly, and therefore he has commission to do it. Jesus said, when you go forward, he said, you go forward in my name. I commission you to go forward in my name. See, if I go forward in my name or your name, if we go in our own strength, our own plans, if this team that's headed out to Mexico, if they're simply going in their own strength, if it just felt like something fun to do, disaster. No fruit. We can do nothing without him. But if they go forward as they are, commissioned in his name, under his authority, then we can look forward to awesome, awesome praise reports, fruit coming back. But that's the key, the commissioning. It's in his name. What's important about that? Listen to this, Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God has also exalted him, speaking of Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What's in that name? It's the name that everyone one day will bow to. It's the name by which we're saved. It's the name we're commissioned under. And it's the name that everyone will one day say, He is Lord. You in that office, if you go in that office commissioned by the Lord to pass on His love, realize who you represent. And there's no power that compares. And don't let those things out there that come at you throw you when you recognize if you're in the name of the Lord. So what does the name of Jesus mean? It's a name of salvation, a name of commissioning, a name of exaltation, and everyone's going to bow to and all. But there's more. Let me ask you, what does the name of Jesus mean to you? Remember, the title was given Emmanuel. It's a descriptive title, meaning God is with us. And there are, throughout our Bible, think of all the names and titles that we've been given for Jesus. The Bible's full of them. Matter of fact, I'm going to be so bold right now as to ask you. I'm going to ask you to read, I hope that you'll go with this, but can anybody here name one of the biblical titles or names for Jesus? Does anything come to mind? Raise your hand if you think of one. Go for it. What? King of Kings. There's one. Corinna, do you have another? Wonderful Counselor. You guys are getting it. Go for it. I'm sorry, what? The Word of God. Amen. The Bright and Morning Star, that's the good one. I like that one. Go for it. I'm sorry. The Mighty King. Prince of Peace. You guys are right. I didn't know I was going to go. It could have gone really bad, but it's gone really great. Let me just give you a little list of my own here. It's not all inclusive. There are more. And I might hit on some that were mentioned, but just think about this. These are names or titles for this one that God... There's one named Jesus. He is called, as has been mentioned, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Alpha and Omega, the Lamb of God, the Ancient of Days, the Rock, the Light of the World, the Bread of Life, the Good Shepherd, the Resurrection and the Life, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the True Vine, Savior, the Only Begotten Son, the Image of the Invisible God, Head of the Church, the Author and the Finisher of our faith, and on it goes. Think of that. God with us. His name is Jesus. But all of these titles and names, they point to who He is for each one who will call upon Him. And here's the awesome thing that I want to think about. I have the privilege of declaring that in His name is His mission. But God's not trotting all these names out and these titles out to just for the sake of doing that. But rather what He wants us to see is this. He is all these things because in each of these things that He is, it represents a corresponding need in us. And every single thing here, it represents a corresponding need in us, basically. He speaks about Him being the light of the world. For those of us who were in darkness, we needed light, and He is that light. For those that were starving to death spiritually, He's the bread of life. Because we were sheep that had gone astray, He's the good shepherd. For those that needed a way, He is the way. For those that have been bombarded with lies, He is the truth. For those that need eternal life, He is that. For those that need guidance, He's our wonderful counselor. For those that need peace, He's the Prince of Peace. And on it goes. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We need that. We need Him to begin and to complete that work in us. In each title, there is a corresponding need in us. And yet, what I want to demonstrate, or He's trying to show us, is that He knows that, and He's here to meet it. But it's not through church attendance, and not through religiosity, and not being good, and not dressing right, and listening to our Christian albums. It's only in one, and a personal relationship with that one. His name is Jesus. Now, there are many Jesuses trotted out there, and Paul warned, there's going to be a lot of Jesuses trotted out there. It's the Jesus of the Bible. It's the one who fulfilled these prophecies. It's the one who is God with us. Only one meets that. It's the Jesus of the Bible that you're holding. Thank God that He's here to meet each and one of those needs. Think of all we find in that name. It's not just a name. Remember, his name is his mission. His name points to him. As it says, in his name, for he will save his people from their sins. Only Jesus can save us. Only Jesus is all these things for those who will call upon him. What's in this name? When it's the name of the one who died for us. When it's the name of the one who is all these things for us. When it's the name of the one, the only one, who could satisfy all these prophecies, then what's in a name? I'm going to ask John and the ladies to come up, the ladies from our worship team, to come up front. Last night, as I was studying on this and considering it, more and more I just felt compelled to just soak us in, or at least begin to soak in, invite you to soak in who this is, this one called Jesus, and how awesome it is, and to make sure we haven't taken for granted. And so as I was studying this and just thinking about this, I said, oh, you know what? And I called up John late last night. I didn't wake him up. At least that's what he says. I believe him. I said, John, I want us to sing a couple of songs about the name of Jesus. And he was excited about it, and he took it on. And he and the ladies are going to do that for us right now. And I invite you, we invite you to join with us. I just wanted us to sing about this one named Jesus. Let's go for it.
Jesus, 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 there's just something. Jesus,
Rest of the worship team joins us up front. It had been 400 years of waiting. Then it happened. In essence, God said, now. And Jesus came to save us. It has been some 2,000 years since he told us he would come again. And once again, we wait. But one day, there'll be another shout of now, and up we go. Are you ready? Only one way to be ready. You got to receive, heart receive, the one that this is talking about. The only one that's fulfilled all these scriptures. The one specifically named Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. I invite you. God invites you. That's the purpose of his name. Because you've got a need. If you've never received of Christ personally, make it today. As we wrap it up, go up front, over here on the right by the prayer room. Find a prayer partner and say, I need to begin that journey. I need to receive life. I want to receive this one that was sent for me. Perhaps you've known him, but you've drifted off. You've gotten into things, just put a distance between you and him, and such that you've separated yourself from the peace and the joy and all those things that he wants to be. The way, the truth, the life, all those things, the guidance of your footsteps, the counsel that you need, the wisdom, the hope. Come back. Come back to that one, the Jesus of the Bible. Just a prayer away for you. Have you called on the one named Jesus? If you have, awesome. If you haven't, good news is you can. That's why he's named this. That's why he came. But for all of us, what's in a name? Well, a lot of different names, maybe a lot of different things. But what's in this name? Everything. Everything. Go out knowing that. Our commissioning, our salvation, everything is wrapped up in that name. And who it belongs to, of course. The name points to the owner of the name. Go out. Go out and enjoy and live in and just let Jesus be your everything. Father.